Let's pray. O God, let the words of my mouth and let the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this is the morning of the first day of the first full week of a brand new year. So why not listen to the first words of the first page of the Bible's first book, which happens to be in the beginning. Then goes on, hear it again. God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that it was good. Such beautiful words, and they are not a science report. Never meant to be heard as an account of fact. In our sense of fact, this is a song. A song of deep, deep truth about the world, about us, and about the creating ways of God. It has no place in textbooks, but neither is it false. It's a song of magnificent understanding. And this is what it imagines first. A fathomless expanse of water in pitch black darkness, the deeps. The story doesn't begin with nothingness. It begins with a world unlit, completely covered by deep water, void of any life, and all in total darkness. This is not a song of nothing at all. It is a song of the absence of meaning, absence of boundary, order, absence of anything alive, and a song of the Spirit of God in this darkness hovering over the deeps. That verb in Hebrew is used elsewhere for a bird hovering in the air, as a mother bird broods, hovers over her young. Here above the formless void in utter darkness is a presence, a brooding love. This is the beginning of the best of news. And there is a voice, God's own voice, breaking through infinite silence. Let there be light. And there it was, light. And all it took was a word from that voice. Did you know that other ancient civilizations also had creation stories? A great many of them featuring a process by which a god made the world, by physical action, specifically, very often by killing some gigantic someone and taking the body parts to make all that is. In our song of creation, God speaks. That's all. And in the darkness, there is light made by the Word. James Weldon Johnson, In his book, God's Trombones described it as something even a little less than a word like this. And God stepped out on space, and he looked around and said, "I'm lonely, I will make me a world." And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. Then God smiled, and the light broke. And the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, "That's good." And it just so happens that that final word turns out to be the refrain of this first song of creation in Genesis. After each day's creative work, after God speaks into being the land, the sun and moon, the fish and the birds and all the animals, there is this chorus every single time, and God saw it was good. Then after human beings are made, at the last, the refrain gets an extra word. God saw it was very good. The Hebrew just says it was good, good. Or in another translation, it was good. And that goodness is not because God took away every scary thing. In this story, God does not eliminate darkness, but divides it from day so that light and dark both have a place. Nor does God do away with dangerous water, but draws it back so that land and sea are both in their place. And then from all this, light and dark and sea and land, there are these great profusions of all manner of life springing forth, including you and me. And it's good, 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 and very good. Now, take the world as we experience it now and set it beside God's first song over the world. Very good rings mighty hollow. No need to go through the litany of all that's cruel and unfair and ugly and pure madness in our time. No need either to pretend that we're not part of it. So we may find that the glad Bible song saddens us, for it would mean that a world very good is what we have poisoned and desecrated and made the scene of our crimes against others, against ourselves, against the Creator. Can it be good again? Look around you. Can it be good ever again? Or in Frederick Buechner's words, does the Spirit of God move over the face of the turbulent waters of our age? Is the God who created us brooding over our darkness? With such questions in mind, I'd love to show you another scene. A scene of Jesus on the day of his emerging at last into public view, which is to say, in the beginning. And on that first day, The first thing he does is go to the waters. Others are there, bringing their sins to that river, all wanting to be washing their sins into it and to be recreated. Jesus wades into it until the water surrounds him. He lets himself be taken hold of by the man called John, who lays him back until the muddy waters have covered his face into that darkness, then pulls him back up, dripping in the light. And then, there in the sky, a dove descending, hovering over the waters again. And again a voice, a glad voice. You are my son, my beloved. In you I am well pleased. It is a story of Jesus uniquely not like our own, where he is God's son to a degree and a likeness that you and I, even as daughters and sons of God, are not. And his entry into those waters point forward to experiences of darkness and depth and the madness of this world that you and I will not have to bear. His baptism story is his, and yet, powerfully, beautifully, our story too, and for us, it is God in Christ who has made it so. You have a beginning. You have many beginnings. In the beginning that was your birth into this world, in the beginning that was your baptism if you received it, in the beginning that was beyond time when God first dreamed us all, and in the beginning that is this very day, in it all the Spirit hovered over you and is over you now. No matter the dark and the depths that we may feel ourselves in, love is brooding over us to create newness, hope, strength, forgiveness, purpose. And the voice over you says, you are my beloved, my own child. Live your life into my good pleasure in you. For my creating love has spoken over you. Good. Good. Very good. I have a very young friend named Piper. And yesterday was the 5th anniversary of her baptism. You know what she did? She treated it like her birthday. Threw a birthday party with her dolls. And later that day, all the family ate cake to celebrate her beginning. The beginning that is the embracing of the love of Christ to be lived. And God said, over the party with the dolls, and over the cake with family, and over the beginning, and over that day, and over all days to come, this is good. You are my beloved child. That is the truth, spoken also over you and me, over us all. You are my beloved. It is the first word. It is the defining word. It is the word that the love of God bends and hovers to make finally and perfectly true. To know this and to live a life following in the way of the one who in that river knew himself to be the beloved, that is to live a life with countless reasons for celebration and for joining in the refrain. This is very good. Amen.